Hello, and welcome to the Aparo Effect, Aparo's podcast about all things technology and business process that affect nonprofits here on February 3rd of 2021. We're very excited to have guests with us, both from Aparo leadership and from AAA Carolinas. We are going to be talking about cybersecurity today. So I am going to start by having our wonderful conversationalists. I'm not going to call them panelists because this is more informal than a panel. Introduce themselves, and I'm going to start with Brian because you're to my left.
All right. Hello there. I'm Brian Hinkle. I work for AAA Carolinas. I'm an IT solutions architect. I've been with AAA Carolinas for roughly about 5 years. Basically, I handle all things technology and with a focus on security. I've been in the IT industry for roughly 25 years, and we've been partnering with Aparo recently with some nonprofits to assist them with some of their security needs. We're Kevin and I, who's the other panelist, will introduce himself in a moment. We've been very fortunate that AAA's allowed us to pair up with Aparo to get back to the nonprofits. And it's taking what we know and love to do in security and applying it. And it's, I'm sure we'll get into it, hopefully, in a way that's easily understood and low cost to budget, if anything at all. It's really focused on people and processes. So I'll pass it off to whoever you want to choose next.
Kevin, why don't we just finish our AAA team and then we'll move over to Stephanie.
You bet. Thank you for having me, Kevin Harris. And official title is Director of Security, Infrastructure, and Operations at AAA Carolinas as well. Been with AAA Carolinas 6 years as of April of this year. And I actually have 30 plus years. I always say plus, so I don't show my age after that long in the industry of IT. So a lot of different hats worn. Security, certainly as of the last 10 years, the last five for sure, has been an important part of what Brian and I do and our team. And we're looking forward as we continue our partnership with Aparo. So appreciate you having us on today.
Great. And Stephanie.
Hey there, I'm Stephanie McKee. I'm the Director of Technology Engagements for Aparo. I've been with the organization for 7.5 years now. My entire career has been in technology, infrastructure, security. So that's been about 25 plus years. I won't talk about my age now. But my role at Aparo is I'm out working with nonprofits in the community to share my passion for technology and bring them resources. And I'm super passionate about security, so I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to have today.
Oh, great. My name is Kim Lanfear, and I'm Aparo's CEO, and I'm really excited to just be able to be the fly on the wall that facilitates this conversation between the work that you all have been doing in the community around cybersecurity. So I think it's really good to start with a definition, just so that everybody is working from the same page. So Kevin, I'm going to start with you. How would you say that the corporate world defines cybersecurity?
Yep, great question. So simply, cybersecurity is really the process of identifying those critical assets within a company. That could be products, people, intellectual property, as well as most recently over the years is data. And then understanding and assessing the risk to those items, and then applying the appropriate security protections to make sure they're safeguarded. And the key thing to call out here is cybersecurity in the corporate world is now a line item on the cost of doing business. It's expected you're going to build it into everything that we do.
And just to kind of go alongside that, Stephanie, how would you say that the nonprofit world defines cybersecurity?
Let's see, I always say scary. depending on the size of the nonprofit too. It is, I've seen over the years just with my tenure with Aparo and working with, over 100 nonprofits, that their need to protect the donor data and them being targets, they are becoming more aware of what cybersecurity is and what it does mean and what the risks are associated with it. And especially with, when we talk about security, their top of mind is like email. They're getting all these phishing emails and, bad actors coming through. And that's been one of their biggest concerns when I have a security conversation with them.
Is there a term you think that is a better way to describe cybersecurity when we're talking with nonprofits so that they can understand what it more readily, you know, if we're afraid of cybersecurity in the nonprofit industry, if that gives us fear, is there another way to, that you think we can talk, that we can say that resonates with us?
I think for me, and I know our conversations with Brian and Kevin, you know, working with the Humane Society, is risk. You know, what are your security risks? And I think that's more understandable because mm-hmm. That kind of encompasses a lot of different things around the security parameter.
I always like to equate it to you're protecting your home, right? You know, it really aligns well with that because everything you do in security, so locking the doors and the windows and making sure, putting an alarm system, not giving the codes to certain people. I think if you use personal terms that people can relate to, it doesn't seem quite as scary to people.
No, that's a really good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Kevin.
We'll have to use that when we start talking about it. Thank you for that. I'm doing a couple questions to Stephanie here. So Stephanie, nonprofits struggle to fund even the basic of infrastructures and data capabilities and business processes. Given that, how can cybersecurity even make it to their wish list of needs? How does that happen? And why is it important for them to begin with? Why should they put it on their wish list?
Yeah, I think it's part of the whole education process and providing them the knowledge and knowing that there's a lot of free things and low cost things that you can do around security to make you less vulnerable. And less apt to be a target. And a lot of that goes around, you know, user awareness. And I won't go into the details right now with targeted things that we've talked about as far as, you know, best practices and multi-factor authentication and passwords and things like that. But overall, there's a lot of things that can be done that are low cost. They're very budget friendly for the nonprofits. I think it's all about education and knowledge. And that's something that, you know, APARO as well as the AAA team, we are hopefully getting across to share that with the nonprofits.
So I know that sometimes nonprofits, you know, you were talking about, first of all, the things that you were mentioning, I think I love that because you're right. There's so many things that are not, don't bring a cost. So it shouldn't be a cost holding them back, but then there's that whole fear factor. And I think that they sometimes think that they're not a target because they're a nonprofit. The only company that's really at risk of any of these kinds of attacks is somebody like a big company, like a Target or a, you know, Merrill Lynch, or, you know, a big company. And that's not true, is it? That's
to
Stephanie.
No,
is that to me?
The term we use is obscurity by obscurity, which doesn't really exist anymore. So go ahead, Stephanie.
Nonprofits at risk? No, that's fine. If we know that nonprofits are at risk, how are they? Where are they? Why should they care about it? Why should it be like, so I don't think someone's going to attack me. I'm a nonprofit, but why would they?
Well, the donor data for one, and even employee data. I mean, for profit or nonprofit, your data is important to these bad actors. And once it gets, you know, data can be sold for big bucks. And that's what these folks are targeting, is to get this data information and put it somewhere where, you know, they can make money off of it. So whether it's a nonprofit or for-profit, the data is still very important.
I'll add in as well that what we've found, and Brian can attest to this as well, from a corporate standpoint, we're finding less and less direct attacks on us and instead attacks to our supply chain or partners that we use. So nonprofits are a big target nowadays, because one, the bad actors don't feel like they have the budgets to even put any cybersecurity in place, and most are true. Therefore, they look like easy pickings, unfortunately. And then second is most of them have a lot of data, rich data that Stephanie alluded to. And a lot of that rich data leads them to corporate affiliates like AAA and many others that then can be used as a launching point for attacks against the bigger fish they're going after. So that's why I see them as a very risky group and vulnerable group under attack nowadays.
Yeah, because they're easier to get into. They don't have the security in place because they're not paying attention to it.
Right.
And like Stephanie was saying, when a donor is database is attacked, it suddenly becomes somebody, is somebody that you can now use that information and track them into their company and then get deeper into a company and get into some richer kinds of data and mm-hmm. funding kinds of sources. So yeah.
Absolutely.
I am going to ask you this question, Kevin and Brian. Stephanie has to step away here for a moment to deal with a delivery of PCs for our nonprofit partners. So it's a big deal. AAA has been the wonderful corporate lead partner on Aparo's pilot IT security program this past fall, the adoption program. Can you talk a little bit about what that program has been for you and how it's manifested for you? Let's start with Kevin. Let's start with Kevin and then I'll take the next question to Brian.
Yeah, so for us, this is a match made in heaven, to be honest, because Brian and I are very passionate about technology, and of course, most recently, as you can tell, security. And we recognize, you know, corporate America is under attack on a daily basis. And we recognize, you know, certainly nonprofits are attacked as often, again, because the bad actors feel they don't have the security in place. And we look at it from a standpoint of the bully, the bad guys are going after those that are, you know, less able to protect themselves and are more focused on serving others. And we feel like, what can we do to help those, you know, those folks in the nonprofits? So partnering with Aparo was just a great marriage of the vision for both of us. So we're really excited that we kicked that off and we did our first initiative with the Humane Society. So
fantastic.
Yeah, and they were a great choice for us. So Brian, you want to add in?
Before Brian does, I want to throw it back to Stephanie and just say a little bit about what the IT pilot security adoption program is, what you intend that to be for nonprofits. Stephanie?
Yeah, it's something that's been a passion of mine for years, and it has finally happened, yay. But it's really coming in, doing a assessment of what your current security infrastructure looks like and finding out where your weak points are. The assessment provides a scorecard. And then from that scorecard, the AAA team's able to come back and provide recommendations for the team and best practices and just a lot of knowledge sharing too, which is really cool. And it leads up to eventually being security awareness for the end users, which is huge. So there's a lot that goes into this. And Brian and Kevin with AAA have kind of templatized, created this nice assessment, easy to read scorecard. I'm very excited about the relationship and partnership.
So Brian, tell us a little bit about the specifics of this project. I know as the lead in this, AAA partnered with Humane Society of Charlotte with along with Aparo walking alongside you. What was the project and what was it like to work with a nonprofit in this space?
Yeah, so as Stephanie mentioned, we performed an initial assessment in the engagement. And then from there, we're working with that nonprofit to meet any of their specific call outs and needs that they have that they like to focus on when it comes to security. And the assessment itself, we basically just focused on the NIST diagram. So when you look at NIST, if no one's aware of what it is, it's a government agency and they're responsible for identifying and publishing a lot of the IT standards that we follow.
National Institute of Security Technology?
Technology, yeah.
Let me figure out NIST.
So within that assessment that we did, we took all basically five domains, tried to put it into an easy to read format, tried to take a lot of the tech work out of it because it can be a little daunting if you see a lot of tech words in it and you don't have somebody that's really IT centric. But we're trying to identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover to any of your security needs. So when you go into it, the identity piece, Kevin always says it's the crown jewels. He always goes back to that. It's where are your crown jewels? So what data do you have out there that you have to protect, and are you adequately defending them? A lot of that's like your user data, your donor data, whatever it may be. The protect part is just making sure you got the right safeguards in place. Detection, that's all about monitoring your environments. You know, can you tell if you've had, you know, has somebody hacked in and managed to get your data or done anything else in your environment that you weren't, you know, you don't want them to do. Along with the detection, so security is always a moving target. You're never going to be 100%. You can never get there. I mean, it's always changing. There's always new vulnerabilities coming to light. So the detection part is key because you have to know if something does happen in your environment. The respond part is just how quickly your organization can respond if something were to happen. Like say you were impacted by a ransomware attack, so you can't get to your data anymore. How would you actually recover from that? And that's the next piece is recovery. So how fast you can recover. It's like, do you have good backups and things? But that's what with our initial assessment.
Yeah, I was going to tag on to what Brian's saying. Also coming out of this is, you know, what policies should you put in place? A business continuity plan, a response plan, disaster recovery. If you do get hit with ransomware, you have a document, living document that you can go to and say, hey, this is who I need to call. I need to, you know, alert all these people involved. So that's also, you know, coming out of the assessment process and recommendations.
And a lot
of- operating in crisis mode. You have a policy so that even if it doesn't happen, hopefully it never happens, but if it happens, which is hopefully rare, you have something you can turn to and you're not in crisis panic.
Yeah. And because, I mean, we are focusing on the nonprofits. We are trying to make sure that anything we do, I think I mentioned earlier, we want it to be low cost, if no cost, and, you know, it's all about focusing on people and your processes, and because we understand that, you know, cost can be a limiting factor. So
Kevin, in this project, this security adoption program that you did with the Humane Society and AAA, were there any different perspectives that you encountered or things that you noticed that were different in working with a nonprofit than you do when you're working with your own people internally? What things popped out for you in this partnership?
So Humane Society was great to work with, and we worked with Stephanie's group. They chose them specifically, one, because they understand the importance of security, so we didn't have to go through and just first convince them it was important. So that was good, and it helped us kind of fine tune and build in some efficiencies to the template and the program. So as we continue on this, it just makes it easier and easier. So appreciative of IECO and Humane Society for being a part of that. But overall, it's some of the things that we alluded to earlier. One, they're desperate for help, right? But they didn't know where to go to. So Aparo was a great first place because they already help them with all the other technologies. So this just made sense. And then second is that that they have this mythical belief that security is complicated and very expensive, which we kind of alluded to as well, and boring in some sense. So that's what Brian and I try to bring to this is, one, to have fun. Like when we're on the calls, we're talking, we're joking, we're trying to use terms that's easy for them to understand and layman, so they understand the risk and concerns, but they're also giving them, you know, the solutions that are things that they can apply. And I think we've alluded to a few of them already, but that are very little cost, if no cost at all. And so I think they're very thankful for that. And then second thing is we want to make sure they understand that this isn't a one and done. I mean, we just give them the processes and policy and assessment. And we're out of here. Thank you. You know, this it's almost like a creating a big brother, big sister program for nonprofits from a security standpoint. We told them, they have our self number. So if they want to call us, if something comes up, you know, please call us out and we'll try to help in any way that we can. So, and we're looking forward to, as we just started a second one, it's a different scope, different group of nonprofits, but again, same belief that they're desperate for help and thankful for it and hungry to get secure as quickly as possible because they understand that.
Really great. Would you do anything different? Leave with your next nonprofit cybersecurity skilled volunteer engagement? Would you, or do you think it went just the way you expected it to?
I mean, I thought it went pretty well. It went as I expected. I didn't have high expectations at first because it was the first one, right? But it actually went pretty well. And again, I think that's a tribute to, you know, Stephanie and Ben, as well as Aiko from Humane, just kind of helped smoothly transition through that process. The second one we've already started actually has gone out really well and much faster, actually. That's the one thing that we did. It's taking a little longer, of course, but we realized that because one thing that we learned, although we wear many hats, nonprofits wear, oh my gosh, so many different hats that they have even less time than we do. So, you know, we had decided to take on a little bit more responsibility, like if they're using a third party service to support them, rather than to make them go call them and ask them questions, we said, you know what, give us their number, we'll contact them and have those conversations to take that off your plate because you don't have time for that. And we do that again because we're passionate about this, we're passionate about nonprofits. So I think that's something that we're taking on and we're hoping, and I know Stephanie and Ben feel the same way, we want to grow this, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want it to just to be the Stephanie, Ben, Brian, and Kevin show. We want to continue growing and adding more volunteers of security practitioners into this. So,
yeah, that is key.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So that is key. We want to get more security professionals involved too. And we want to try and make it as cookie cutter as possible as well so that we're, you know, grading them in the same way. And it just makes it easier to bring people in and out of the system to provide that additional support that they may need or be asking for.
So Stephanie, if someone is listening to this and they're thinking, hey, I'm a security professional, I'd like to do something like this, how would they get engaged and what might it look like?
Yeah, well, you can definitely reach out to me via our website or my email address is smckee@apare.org. And we are, Brian and Kevin have fine-tuned this process, so it's easy to get involved. And there's different ways, not only with this type of security, but we work with organizations where we've brought in security professionals to review their website and assess their security there. So as well as firewall security or perimeter security to your firewalls. So there's different areas and ways to get involved. So definitely go out to our website and reach out. We'd love to have you because we want to help more nonprofits.
So Ben, Brian, I'm going to throw this up to you. What would you hope to see other nonprofits in the community strive for in this space? What other actions or strategies would you hope to see start coming across the plate as you grow this program of engagement with security of nonprofits in Charlotte?
I mean, for me, it's just more about awareness. As long as they're aware of it and that they're actually going to take hopefully some action, and they need to realize that a lot of what we're doing, I mean, the majority of it isn't going to cost you any additional funds. So it's more about good housekeeping, and things about keeping your PCs up to date and software updated as well. It's little things like that. And so don't be scared. Just start doing it.
Start having the conversations, yeah. Right? Reach
start
out.
Start having the conversations. Right. Yes, absolutely.
So Kevin, you were starting to say, you know, the next project that you guys are working on. So you're already starting another IT security adoption program and different. It looks different a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit more about why it looks different or how it's faster? You mentioned that, but is there anything else or is it going to be following the template again?
Well, it's following the template. Mm-hmm. And what's different here in this case is they actually have a resource that's focused more on IT. And that was a recent change, I believe, with them. But
that's correct.
Yeah. You know, working with them, I mean, we provided them with the assessment questionnaire, and by the time we had our first meeting, it was already completed and filled out and ready to go. So we didn't have to go through the more formal process of explaining what it is and go through each question, which we are more than willing to do if needed. So it's a little, it's all dependent on the nonprofit's capabilities and knowledge. And we're ready to handle anywhere from zero, where we don't have anybody that knows anything about technology or security, all the way to the point where we have a dedicated team and they can fast track it. So we're able to be agile and shift and pivot as we need. So that this next exercise is going a little bit more rapid, which is great for us. In fact, I reached out to Stephanie because I understand, you know, they're very busy. So, you know, we try to be very sensitive to intruding on their time and let them set the pace, right? So I told Stephanie, I said, hey, shoot us some more. We're ready to take on more because we can handle this now. So, and they've done that. And they've already lined up some other ones as well. So this next one is going pretty quickly. And I think in some cases, they're ahead on the maturity level scale and for security. So we'll just dive a little deeper and find some other things just to continue them on that continuum of improving their security posture. So
it just sounds like we are ready to bring some other corporate partners into this process so that we can really start to take this template that you guys have created and really spread it widely and help nonprofits engage. Yeah, that's exciting. So Stephanie, what's on your list of priorities, not just cybersecurity, maybe with cybersecurity too, coming up in the next short-term future for nonprofits here in technology? What you think is going to be coming down the pike?
Well, as most of us are all continuing to work remotely, of course, on the front of my mind is helping nonprofits still adopt the working remotely, whether that's via cloud or using video conferencing tools. And, you know, as well as back to my passion of our topic we're talking about here is just the education and security awareness and getting more nonprofits involved in what we're trying to do here with our security program. I think it could basically move the needle for a lot of nonprofits here in our community.
That's exciting. So not just corporations, we need nonprofits.
We need nonprofits too, yeah.
Step up. So hear us today and reach out because we want to do more to help this area because there's risk. We want to help you avoid that. So we're kind of wrapping up today. We're grateful for AAA and Stephanie, our leadership from Aparo, for telling us about how we've engaged and created this program to help nonprofits navigate risk, security in the home of their work and the work that they do, right? Are there any last words that any of you don't have to, but if there's something you'd want to send the world out with as we wrap up this podcast, now's the time.
I'll just finish off for my part is, I look at this as a call to action. So I'm excited to, as this gets distributed to the various nonprofits, they look at this and say, you know what, maybe we should do something about this. And it's simply a call to Aparo saying, we're interested. And then we go into action, right? And your part is, you know, not necessarily financial, monetary. It's more just a little bit of time, answer some questions. We'll walk you through the whole process and, you know, come alongside you to make sure that we get you set up for protecting not just you, but more importantly, your clients and your donors, right? Because you serve an important need. And we're so thankful for everything that the nonprofits do, especially over this past year with the pandemic. They've been a saving grace. So we want to make sure they're able to continue doing what they're doing and let us worry and help you with the security piece. So simple things, call us up, let us help.
Yeah, and just know that Aparo is here to be your kind of technical liaison, technical resource guide here in the greater Charlotte area. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Thank you to Brian and to Kevin from AAA. and Stephanie for taking the time here to be part of the Aparo Effect podcast. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you all.